we have to search for. It's a necessary thing, and rest is just something that comes when our body gets tired. But that's so not what God desires for us. And even as believers, we will compartmentalize aspects of our life, but God wants to be a part of every aspect of our life. So today, I want us to look and consider in Scripture what God has to say about His being involved in our work and in our rest. The passage we just heard is directed toward the slaves of biblical times, but the principles of work found here continue to be very relevant to us today. Verse 22, a portion of it reads as follows. If you've still got your Bibles open, you can look there. It says, "Do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart." I believe this is probably the best definition of the word we call integrity. And I can tell you, there's not enough integrity in the world we live in today. Integrity means you will do the same thing in the same way with the same attitude, whether your boss or your supervisor or anyone else is standing beside of you or not. Too often we're tempted to do as little as possible that we can get away with. We can rationalize why we really don't need to do our best. But according to Scripture, it should not be this way. We continue in verse 23 reading, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart." What does it mean to put your heart into something? It's more than physical labor. It means investing a part of who you are into your work. Do you think this makes a difference in the outcome? Of course it does. It makes a difference in the quality of the final product, the sense of purpose in the person who's investing themselves in the process, the relationships encountered along the way the laborer and the consumer even comment on the product. People know when heart has been invested in a task versus just getting the job done. You see it not only in the product, but also in the laborer. I want to ask you, have you been at a place in your life where there's been a product, something that's been produced, and you just know the way it was produced, the people who did it cared, versus something that was made just because it was on an assembly line and somebody got a paycheck for doing it? Have you ever been in a situation where you could tell the difference in those two things? Or how about you go somewhere to eat, a restaurant? You ever been to a place where it's simply getting your food out to you, making sure you have what you ordered, and getting your money and heading out, versus people who, it's their passion, it's what they want to do, it's who they are, and there's something about that experience that's simply more than nourishment to the body, but it's an experience? That's what it means to have heart. And when even there are times that we as believers, I used to be a youth pastor many moons ago, and I remember young people saying that they needed to go to college so they could get a job, so they could earn money and have a good living. And I struggled. And I tried to have conversations and tell them, yes, God wants you to go to school if that's a direction you're being led. And yes, I believe God probably wants you to work and be able to provide for yourself and your family. But when you start talking about getting a job, there's more to that job than simply being able to have money. There's a sense in which God wants you to be able to invest yourself in that, for you to be able to be fulfilled. And it doesn't matter what the job is, but it matters the approach that you have to it and recognizing that God desires to be a part of that. And it changes your life. It changes your quality of life. It changes your soul. And that's what God desires. As Christians, our responsibilities in our jobs are taken to a whole other level. because in verse 23 it also says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Whatever you do, don't do it just for the paycheck or to please someone else. Everything we do should be done for the glory and praise of God the Father. I want you to think back for a moment about what you did this past week. If you are a student, and I want to get your attention. If you're a student, raise your hand. All right, there's lots of them here. I like it. All right, I'll start with you and then we'll just keep going. If you're a student, think about your time at school, the effort you put in, your relationships with your teachers or your professors, your conversations centered in or around what is rightfully considered your work day at this stage in your life. Students, did your work, did your attitude, did your conversations bring glory to God? For those of us in the 9-to-5, 8-to-4, or 6-to-6 jobs, whatever it may be, how about you? What were you thinking when you went in to work? Was it how you can be the best employee possible, demonstrating integrity and heart, doing all that you do to please the Father in heaven? And how about those of us who don't have to punch a clock anymore? Those who are retired. Did you know that nowhere in Scripture is there a reference to retirement? Do you know that? Do you know that, Dave Miller? We talked about it, hadn't we? There's another passage. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll share portions of it, but you may want to go back and look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. But here's a portion of what it says, what Paul is saying to the people at Thessalonica. I'll pick up kind of in the middle of verse 8. He said, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this because we did not have a right, not because we do not have a right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. And then verse 12, such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. I believe we're to always be about doing God's work. Retirement isn't a time to sit on a couch watching reruns to no end. If you've reached an age of retirement, God has no doubt blessed you with years of wisdom and experience. And sometimes people make fun of that. Some people say that's just a nice way of saying you got old. No, it's not. Yes, you may have a few more aches and pains, but I don't care what your life has been like, you have wisdom. Whether it's from things you've accomplished, whether it's from mistakes you've made, whether it's from people you've encountered, you have wisdom. And that wisdom is a resource provided by God that God desires you to use, not to hoard, not to keep to yourself, but to share. And there are people in your life who need to know what you know. And if we reach a point in life where we can be provided for, we can provide for ourselves, and we don't have to punch a clock, we don't have to have a paycheck, then we may be at a point that we can actually mentor and encourage and walk alongside others who are seeking what it means for them to work in such a way as to be who God wants them to be. And you know, I seriously believe this may be some of the most rewarding work you can do in your lifetime. So my whole point, going from students to those that are working now to those who have retired, is that each and every one of us should be about God's work. And it's actual work, not just some program in a church, not just playing games. So you see, we all work. The question today is, do we work in the manner God calls us to? All right, I put that out there. Think about that for a little bit. Chew on that while I give you another thing. Hand in hand with work is rest. God intends them to go together. Unfortunately, at times, we get the order backwards. I want you to hear this. No doubt most of us have put in a hard day's work that resulted in a great night's sleep because we've worked hard and our bodies are tired. But how many of us have worked in such a way that we get enough sleep to keep our bodies going the next day, but they really never get rested? I believe this happens when our rhythm of life is rest from work, when God intends us to work from rest. Do you hear the difference? When you rest from work, you work and you just work until you can't do anymore and you're exhausted, so you collapse. And you sleep or you rest or do whatever until you can recover, and then you get up and go back and do what you didn't finish doing, and you just keep doing that. That's not how work and rest are intended to happen. I believe God intends us to be able to rest, and not just physically rest, but to rest in Him, recognizing who He is, who He desires us to be, and yes, how He desires us to work and the role that work is to play in our own lives. I want to test your Bible knowledge. What did God do or create on the seventh day, on the sixth day? Who can tell me? Man. I heard it. Among other things, that's what I was looking for. Among other things, God created man. Now I'll test you for the next one. What did God do on the seventh day? He rested. Let me read Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that He was doing, and on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. So you see, God created man. And it says God even told man what he was supposed to do. He was to subdue the earth. He was to take care of the things God created. He told them this. He created them on the sixth day. But then after he created them the first day, he said, "All right, Adam and Eve, go get to work." It says God rested. Do you think God rested and said, "All right, Adam and Eve, you go work and I'll watch you"? I don't know. The Bible doesn't lay it out exactly, but the God that I know, after He created Adam and Eve, He loved and cared for Adam and Eve so much that first day, after they had been created, they relished the presence of God Himself. And it was an intentional, unique experience that from that, they continued to do whatever it was God desired them to do. So, we see that God rested, and He provided that as an example. I want to look next. Not only did God rest, Jesus rested many places throughout Scripture. But I want to share with you from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 40. Again, I'm not going to read that whole passage, but I give you that so you can go and look at it. It's about a time that Jesus is on the boat with His disciples and a big storm comes up. And the disciples get very scared. And guess where Jesus is? I already told you. He's asleep. In verse 38 of chapter 4 of Mark, it says, Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" So Jesus is there sleeping. I just want to do this because I think it's pretty cool. I'm going to read the rest of it. It says, He got up, rebuked the winds and waves, and said, "Quiet, be still." Then the winds died down, and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And I bet Jesus went back and went to sleep again. The Bible doesn't say that, but I think he probably did. Because rest is important. And yes, the disciples needed to understand what was going on. But, you know, Jesus was asleep on a boat when we as readers might think he should have been instructing the disciples or caring for them or getting ready for his next sermon on the wherever it may have been that he was going. But no, he was sleeping. There are numerous places throughout Scripture where Jesus gets away to rest. If Jesus needed rest to do the work God had for him to do, and he had only a little over 30 years on earth to do it, if Jesus needed to rest in the midst of all this, don't you think we might need to rest too? The thing is, I think we all agree with that rest thing, but do we understand, are we embracing it the way we're supposed to? Are we working from rest instead of resting from our work? So we talked about God rested, Jesus rested. It says in the Bible that we are to rest, and it says it in many different ways, but I want to pick a place that I think you're probably not going to expect. It's a passage you've heard before, but probably not in this context. It comes from Psalm chapter 23. You've often heard it at funerals, but I want us to hear it today in a way I believe it may be in a more fuller context, an intended context. The passage is very relevant to our everyday living life on earth. I want you to hear it. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. We realize we lack nothing when we allow God to guide us. You hear that? We realize that we lack nothing. We've said Psalm 23 so many times, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And God guides us, and God will lead us, it says, to lie down in green pastures. God's going to lead us to rest. And I don't know if it's going to be beside the Piney River. I don't know if it's going to be in green pastures. It may be wherever it may be. God will lead you to a place of rest. It may be enjoying the beautiful sound of the flowing waters. It may be admiring the mountains. It may just be closing your eyes and feeling the wind around. I don't know what it may be inside. It doesn't always have to be outside. But when we have this type of rest, the type of rest that's provided by God because God led us there, it does not just give us physical energy. It refreshes our soul. Did you hear that? Did you hear it in the Scripture? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet or still waters. He refreshes my soul. When was the last time you can really say your soul was refreshed? That's the kind of rest God desires us to have. I want our praise team to come, our musicians to come. They're going to lead us in a closing. And I invite you to respond. We have this every week. And before I get too into the invitation, I don't usually do this. I'm pulling out my phone to read a text I got this morning that's related to the invitation. Most of you here know Kevin Akershoke. This is what he sent me this morning at 8:03. My brother-in-law just accepted Christ as of last night. His exact words, quote, "I feel like 1,000 gorillas just got lifted off my shoulders." If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this whole thing about work and rest might sound good, but it's not going to amount to anything because you can't do this yourself. I can't do it myself. If you haven't made that decision before you can do anything else that's going to have significant impact or difference in your life, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and now is the time to do that. The altar's open. I'm willing to have a conversation with you and share time with that. There's small groups going on. There's people that you may have come here with or that you know that you can have a conversation with. It doesn't have to be me, the pastor. But that, if you haven't done that, that is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. And the longer you put it off, the more you're robbing yourself of the gift and the blessings God wants to give you. And my guess is if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're feeling some weight and some pressure right now. And if you do let go and allow God to be a part of it, you're going to experience the same thing Kevin's brother-in-law did. It's going to be a weight lifted like you've never experienced before. Don't guess about that. No. That being said, if you do have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to embrace this whole work and rest thing in the way God desires. Work is not intended to be torture. Work, when God is a part of it, even the most difficult situations, God takes it and uses it and blesses us and blesses those around us. And I've heard people talk about the struggle. We sang about being overwhelmed. God didn't want me to be overwhelmed the way I was this morning because at times I get it out of order too. Let's figure out together how to rest in Christ. Let Him lead us in doing that and doing it appropriately in a way that not only re-energizes us and gets us excited, but it makes a difference in our soul. I want that, and I want that for you today. Respond as God would lead. Seek to work in the way God leads and to rest in the way God leads and to work from that rest. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 608, "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes."